This is the day which the Lord has made. We will Man, three sections strong. I love that. This is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And I love that. Who brought their Bibles with them today? You guys, we're trying to encourage you to bring your Bibles with you. If you have notepads, write something down so you can think about that throughout the week, throughout the weeks, the months, and the years to come. I still have messages that I wrote, notes that I keep and I refer back to, nuggets that we like to hold on to that have helped us grow. So try and do that. By the way, this baptistry is ready whenever you guys need to be baptized. Part of our thing in 2019 is to be obedient to God's word. Amen? We're going to be obedient through baptizing, whether you're younger or older. We can do it in private. We prefer to do it in public so everyone can celebrate that decision and that step. Anytime you're ready, though. Give us about 3 hours to heat it up, though, or you have a cold one. But other than that, we can fill it up in a matter of seconds, and you'll be good to go. I believe 2019 is going to be an amazing year for this church body. I truly believe that. I think that we have prepared the field. I think we have planted seed. I think we have watered. And I think it's time for some of us to harvest. Again, there may be different times. Farmers don't do the same thing over and over. They have a time that they change their crops every now and then, or a year that they let that crop get back to its normal so they don't wear it out, if you will. For some of you, this season is going to be a season of planting. For some of you, you may be preparing the field still, or again, or it's time to re-prepare the field. For some, it's a year to water, but for many, it's going to be a year for you to harvest, and we're thankful for that. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And I'm just thankful to be in the house of the Lord today. I love being here. I was gone Wednesday night. We brought home our son Austin finally. He's home. Sicker than a dog today, so he's not here today. But some of you saw him Wednesday night. But we brought him home. He's back home permanently. And we're thankful for that. And I thought about Robbie. You know, Robbie, while you were gone for that year. Yes, you, Robbie. Robbie's looking around going, what? Yeah, while you were gone for that year, and we prayed for you, and I thought, man, my son's been gone 5 months. You know, but I thought about the sacrifice you made, and for the rest of our military, our veterans, for the sacrifices that you guys have made. And I thank you all for that. I thank you for that, and it's brought a lot more clarity to me of what our men and women go through. And what their families go through as well. Luke chapter 5. And I want to read a scripture reading today before we get into Luke chapter 5. And it's right next door to that. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 21. And it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And the news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues." Sorry, being glorified by all. "So he came up to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." And I thought, as he's going through this, he happens to open it to this spot. And he opens the book to the spot, and it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." You know, Zach, as you were up here talking, I thought, were you in the office reading my notes? Okay, they were talking about these things that you said, we can be set free from these things. And we can do it through Jesus Christ. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And it said, "Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" Let's bow our heads. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, Amen. So this is the third week of third Sunday of 2019, and we started out talking about simple steps to help us grow. And there were four simple steps. They were biblical, and it was doctrine, the study of what we believe, the reading of what we believe, the fellowship, gathering with one another, the breaking of bread, and we talked last week about participating in things with one another. And then we talked about prayer, and we translated that to mean prayer. Prayer is prayer. There's no other way to put it. Prayer is prayer. And we thought, we've got to have a greater focus on these things. Young people, ground zero, you've got to have a great focus on these things. I think you guys do a great job of most of those. I don't know where you fit in praying. I know you fellowship. I know you study together. Trust me, I know you break bread together all the time. But make sure we're not forgetting the prayer part. And I've seen you guys pray at different times about great things. Pray about those smaller things as well and make it be a consistent part of your daily life. Same to the rest of us. But just as I saw that Ground Zero group, I know they spend a lot of time together, which is a blessing. We looked last week at growing in God, and we talked about looking at the footprint that we leave. And where do we leave that footprint? We leave it in our community. We said, oh, good Lord, what is our community, or where is our community? And it's any place where we gather together and share and unite in common values, beliefs, attitudes, and goals. And it's important that when we leave a place, that we leave our footprint, that they'll know we were there and what we stood for. And what we stand for while we're there. And we're going to end today. Today's message is growing by following. Growing by following. And for some people, they think, no, leaders aren't followers. Yeah, they are. They're following someone to be a leader. Okay, every leader has followed somebody. But bottom line is, we're talking biblically. To grow biblically and spiritually, we have to follow. Now, there's a ton of different scriptures that we can reference. Follow the leaders of the church. Follow the leaders in your home, your parents. Follow those in charge of you. But we're going to look at something a little different today. We also talked, when we talked about leaving our footprint, growing by serving one another. Last week we talked about the laborers. And we said what? The laborers are you. We need you guys. And you guys. And you guys all participating to help us grow. We grow by serving and serving one another. Actually, I didn't have this down there, but I'm going to read it. Romans what? I wrote Romans 6, and then I wrote next to it 7. It's Romans 6, verse 7. Okay. I can figure that out. It says, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Zach, I should probably just let you come up here and finish the sermon, but because you already started it. But it says, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Now listen to this, verse 11. This is from Romans chapter 6, verse 11. It says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. But do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. And we talked last week is growing in God by being free from sin. It's very hard to grow when you're chained down. Anyone ever see a tree that has the wires and they're pulled both directions to keep it standing upright? But then after 15 years, those wires are grown into it. You go to chop it down or something and you get metal in the middle of it. It's very hard to grow properly when you're enslaved to something. When you're stranded or strapped in by something. Jesus said in the scripture that we read earlier, when he was talking about the Spirit of the Lord has come upon me. And it says he came and he has been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. To heal the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty or freedom to the captive. He came to give sight to the blind, liberty to the oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And I love that acceptable year of the Lord. I'm comparing this to the year of Jubilee, basically every 15 years. And the year of Jubilee, man, couldn't wait for that one. Why? Well, debts were forgiven. Land was given back to the rightful owners or to the families that it truly belonged to. Slaves became free. A new start. And Jesus Christ, when he read that, says he went and read it, and then he sat down. And he said, hey, this that I just read, it just came to pass. Here I am. Anybody need a new start in 2019? Anybody? I'll take one. Don't say it's bad, but anyone need a new start? Okay, six people, seven? Okay, eight. I see half hands going up, eight and a half. All right. We all need a new start. To say it's 2019, where will we go from here? That doesn't mean that we have to change everything. But I'm sure there's things we can change in our life, and our spiritual life is what we're focusing on for sure. So Luke chapter 5, I'm going to start right in verse 1. And it says, so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Let me just stop there. Could you imagine so many people gathering together to hear the word of the Lord that they're pressed together and crammed in there? We got plenty of room, plenty of room. You don't have to stop inviting friends or relatives. Plenty of room in here. But for this, a multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. You see, they were following someone. And they knew who they had to follow. And he said, man, I can't teach from here. Let me get in this boat. And by the way, can you take me out a little bit? And then they can hear me. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And I love this phrase, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. But listen to this. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. They're following what they were told. Even though they had done it a ton of times before. All night long, we've been dropping our net over there. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. We've done it and we caught nothing, but nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Wow, what a great problem to have. Hey, can you come help me carry all this money? I don't have enough pockets. And then the weight of the money was so much that they began to drop down to their knees because they couldn't carry it. Could you imagine? Well, it was the same thing to them. Now their boats are beginning to sink because of the great number of fish they caught. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He knew where he was, and he knew whose presence he was in. And he said, oh, I'm in the presence of the Messiah. I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Zach, you said, "We'll be fishers of men." You see, we're going after lost souls. Or are we? Are we going after lost souls? But he said, "From now on, you will be fishers of men." So when they had brought their boats back to the land, they forsook all and they followed him. Now, I've preached out of the same text before, talking about following and obedience. And at the start of the year, we're back here again because we're looking at this example. We want to say, what does the scripture say? Well, the scripture says Jesus came and said, "Do this." And they said, "We already did it." He said, "Hey, it's time to do it again." Jesus called men to follow him, but also, as they're following, to obey him. Now think about that. You can have followers that don't obey you. A lot of parents. I got children following me all through the house, all through life, but they're not obedient. They don't obey. You can have followers, but not have people obey you. But Jesus called them to follow him through obedience. But listen, they did it immediately. And they didn't stop and say, "Wait, I'm too dirty, Jesus. Oh my gosh, I smell like fish." Are you hearing me, church? We don't need to stop and clean ourselves up to come before the Lord. Now, his desire at some point is that he can transform us to be a clean person and a clean soul. But he doesn't say, "Go clean yourself up before you come into my presence." He says, "You come as you are, and you come now, and you come ready, and you come open to me." Are you the follower that's obedient, or just the follower that says, "I'm following, but I really don't know where we're going"? Forty years in the wilderness, that band of weary travelers traveled. Some followed because they said, "I don't know where we're going, but I'm just following. No idea." Others followed and believed, and others followed and said, "I'm not listening to this cat anymore. Give me your necklaces. Let's burn these up. Because we're going to melt them down. We're going to make this golden calf and start worshiping that thing." With God, it's all about timing. You show up too early. Hey, they were in the boat early. God, we threw our nets down there. Nothing jumped in it. Pulled it up, it was empty. For some, we're too early. We're before our time. Sorry, we're before his time. Now it's our time, but we say, "God, I don't want to wait. I want to go now." He says, "You're not ready now. Or I'm not ready for you now." Sometimes we're too late. "Put your net down here. I'm going to send these fish your way." Forget it. Don't listen to him. We've done that. It didn't work before. I'm not listening to him. And you go your own way. And after that doesn't work, yet again, your way, you think, "I tell you what, maybe we should try his way." The fish are gone now. You throw your net down. "See, I knew it wouldn't work. I knew he was wrong." It's timing. And obedience is timing. It has nothing to do with comfort. Forget comfort. I'm talking about obedience. If you're thinking comfort and what works for you, your kids, your parents, your family, forget it. Christianity isn't for you. It's about obedience. And when I say Christianity isn't for you, I'm saying that your mentality's wrong to fit in there. Because it's about timing. Blessings occur when we do it in His timing. Verse 11, as I said, they forsook all and they followed Him immediately. That's what the Scripture says. Now, 2019, we say, hey, we want all these great things to happen at Prayer of Faith. We're going to Guatemala in March. We're going to go spread the gospel down there. We're going to go preach at different churches. We're going to teach some of the students. We're going to take some money down there and be a blessing to them. Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. We've been there, Eric and I, and some of you may have been there. Some of this church body's been down there before. Trust me, they're poor. Now, with that poor comes a lack of concern for a whole bunch. We went to somebody's house down by the beach, and I'll never forget watching this guy swing in a hammock. For every minute we were there, he sat and did nothing. No worries, no cares. So there's a lot less cares and concerns when you don't have anything. But I did happen to notice his home did not have four walls, and it did not have a roof on it. But in that, he was content where he was at the time. So we can't sit on the sidelines and complain when someone didn't throw the pass correctly. We can't sit on the sidelines and complain when somebody missed that pass. Oh, they kicked, but they were way left or way right. How they kicked it into the wind? What were they thinking? Very easy to sit back and follow without being obedient. When you sit on the sidelines, that's what I think, that you're a follower without obedience and without commitment. Jesus said, I need laborers to come in. You see, the field's ready. The harvest is ready. But I'm out there looking, and I can't find any laborers because the laborers are few. Where do we get the laborers? From the followers. Flip over a page or two in your Bible, depending on how big or small the print is, to Luke chapter 6. And as we talk about growing through following, we're talking about obedience. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. So go to the very end of that chapter, right before chapter 7. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. And he goes in to the story about building the house on the sand versus solid rock. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not follow the things I tell you to do? One of my favorite verses out of Matthew, Matthew 7. We know that one. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I think those are followers that aren't committed to Him. Those are followers that may not be obedient. I'm doing these things in the name of Jesus Christ. But did Jesus ask you to do them? Did He tell you to stop doing them? Did you slow down and speak to Him about it? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I ask? Luke chapter 11, verse 28 says, Jesus tells them, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus knew there were two differences. There's people that hear the word of God, and there's those that hear it and keep it. They're two separate groups of people. Which one are you? Well, it depends on what day it is, Adam. Half the time I do that, but when I don't feel like it, you can't do that. Today, following isn't just the act of going behind someone. Following is the act of being obedient. That's what we're talking about. When we say growing by following, it's not just a simple act that I'm following Jesus where he goes. It's those that followed him and were obedient to his teaching. Jesus constantly said, if you love me, blah, 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 obey. You are my friend if, blah, 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 you obey. If you do the will of my Father, if you follow my commandments, if you love one another. Obedience was key to walking with Jesus and to be considered one of his friends, one of his disciples, one of his the inner group there. It wasn't just following him around, it was being obedient to those things. Listen, we're going to have an opportunity in just a minute to sing, to stand and sing as we leave. That's one of the new things we're doing in 2019. And by the way, we'll be doing a few new things that you may have seen already. Our meet and greet, it's a little shorter. I love that. I love that we meet and greet and love talking to one another. I got sidetracked there for just a second. I love that we love fellowshipping and greeting one another. And I hate saying, okay, find your way back to your seat, because I see you guys talking and smiling and shaking hands and hugging. But it's something we're doing different so we can press on and not completely disrupt the flow of things. When we do things differently, it doesn't mean that something was wrong before. It just means, hey, we're trying something different. And in 2019, we're going to do things differently. We're going to be obedient. I said we're going to pray more often. Before we start playing, I'm going to pray real quick, because we said we'd pray. And we've prayed little bits throughout the service. That's intentional. But let's just bow our heads again before we start singing. Heavenly Father, as we sing and as we prepare to close service today, God, I pray that people heard your word. Not my voice speaking, but your word speaking through me is a mouthpiece for you. Lord, we can't progress in 2019 till we find out what went wrong in 2018 and the previous year and the previous year, and however far back we need to go that things didn't work for us. We have to face those, and we have to address those roadblocks and those stumbling blocks. God, today as we sing, I just want you to call people forward. If they have just a prayer that they want to pray to you, I want them praying to you. We can certainly pray with them and for them. But God, this is just if someone says, I've got to be obedient and I'm called to walk up there, walk up to the side of the steps, kneel on the steps to pray, come up to the front, just kneel there and just pray if God calls you. God, just help us be obedient. Amen. In 2 Thessalonians, as we close here, I want to read this, and I'm going to read a little extended version from what I wanted to, but I think it's important if you think about it in reference to prayer of faith. It says, we are bound to thank God always for you, as it is fitting, brethren, because your faith grows exceedingly. And our prayer is that your faith grows exceedingly in 2019. And it says, and that the love of everyone, every one of you, all abounds towards each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations. And that says, everything you guys are going through because of your faith and your love for one another, even when you go through those things, man, we get to go to other churches and boast about you and tell them, man, this church is powerful and they're growing. And it says, in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. But listen to this. I thought, okay, Adam, we've read the scripture. We get what the meaning of that is. How do I fit this into my life? How does this affect me? I'm getting ready to tell you. Verse 7. And to give you who are troubled rest. To give you rest with us. Guys, that's fellowship. When we gather together with one another. It's to give you rest with us. To give you rest with us. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Verse 8. In flaming fire. Taking vengeance on those who do not know God. But listen to this. And on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe. Because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness in the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Adam, where's the good news of the gospel? And that I got great news. Those four simple steps. Study your Bible and know what His promises are. Know what He has for you when you go through trials and tribulation. When the road is not smooth, that we read about in Psalms this morning at the beginning of worship. Attend and be with one another. Find rest among yourselves. Be encouraged by one another. Zach, your words this morning, encouraging one another, challenging one another to stand up to the enemy who's trying to take our faith. By the way, you got a gift. Don't let that go to waste. Don't let it go to waste, my son. Then it's serving in here, participating in the family of God. And then praying constantly. Remove stumbling blocks. Guys, in 2019, we can't allow ourselves to be stumbling blocks for others anymore. We cannot allow ourselves to be a stumbling block to ourselves. Okay, we put those blocks in front of ourselves sometimes. Say, I can't go past this barrier. Kick it out of the way. Remove it. And sometimes we do that. Forgive someone. Forgive others that you need to. Free yourself from that. Man, what a mighty and amazing God we serve. Amen. All right, man. May the Lord bless you and keep you until we see you again. Have a blessed and prosperous 2019.